The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It's a good Monday. We're going to sit here for the next, what would it be? Today is the 4th. The draft is April 25th. So every day that we're on for the next 7 weeks, there are about 6-7 weeks, we're going to do Josh Rosen versus Kyler Murray every day, because it's the easiest thing for anybody to do in the world of sports media. Doesn't matter if it's true. Doesn't matter if it's, what if this team came up? As somebody told me who was in a position of authority in a big media company, Brad, you take this stuff too serious. It's just fun. You know, just have fun with this stuff. Well, that's not how it works. So I know Kyler Murray measured in a little bit taller than he was initially believed to be. And so we're going to talk about this coming up at 10:20 at great lengths about Kyler Murray, what direction the Cardinals will go, should go. The fact that now the Cardinals are really in a spot that if they screw this up, it will set the team back for a long, long time. This is Matt Leinart territory if they screw it up. And there's no real easy answer on this, as I'm going to lay out later on in the show. I've given this a lot of thought, talked to some people who's much smarter than I'll ever be on the agent side and people that follow what goes on in the NFL. And the track record's not good if you're a fan of the Cardinals to do the right thing. Doesn't mean they're not going to get it right, but again, I'm merely looking at the numbers don't lie, and I will explain this coming up in the next segment. The weekend, I did a lot. I have no voice today, and I'm not quite sure why, other than I was at my son's wrestling meet, and they won. They won the championship. He held up his trophy. That was cool. I hiked Picacho Peak most of the way on Friday. Actually, I had a timber moment, Eric. So Eric and I on, was it last Wednesday, you and I went to Tucson. We did EG's, and Eric, this is why I love him. As we were driving by Picacho Peak, he said, "Oh, wow, look at how beautiful Picacho Peak is." And I'm like deep in thought about, you know, we're going to go get Aaron Rodgers for a piece we're working on. But he was right. And we were going to stop on the way back, and I just zoomed right by it. So without you, partner, mentioning to me how beautiful Picacho was, I would not have done it on Friday.
Let me clarify just a couple things.
Okay? Sure.
Usually I don't think Picacho Peak is actually the most beautiful thing in the world. But because of all the rain and at times snow that we've gotten around our great state,
global warming,
everything is green. Yeah. And the way the sun was reflecting off of the greenery of Picacho Peak, it just gave it a different look. Usually I'm just more concerned about how the ostrich are doing. But
do you know the ostrich farm has stingrays now? Did you see that?
I did not, but I have been to the ostrich farm.
I have too.
It's pretty cool. They're mean creatures, let me tell you. They'll take a hand off if you're not careful.
There's emus, too. Emus and ostriches. Mm-hmm. So I worked with emus when I was a show announcer at the San Diego Wild Animal Park. I actually did that. I worked with elephants, llamas that spit, and emus.
You deal with animals now. They're just of the human variety.
I got gross kids and all that nonsense. So I saw they have emus at the farm down there, or ostriches at the farm, and I saw stingrays, not emus. I saw stingrays. There's a difference. It's kind of like Dolphinarius going under here up in Scottsdale. Like, what a shock. Dolphins didn't make it. What a shock.
Stunner from a
person whose wife used to train dolphins. So, you know, we love animals. Yeah, we didn't stop there at the ostrich farm. But I went back on Friday. So we're hiking Picacho, Eric, and I'm going along the side of the mountain. I have a knee that needs to get replaced. It's going to happen sometime this year. I just don't know when. I keep saying when it slows down, but it's balky. I think that's the best way to put it. So we're hiking back from our little jaunt around Picacho, and the knee decides it's had enough. Quad has had enough. Like DJ would be able to relate to this. So the knee just kind of goes, bwomp, just kind of bows out.
DJ Foster.
Yeah, DJ Foster.
Okay.
DJ Foster.
Just to clarify.
Not DJ Humphrey. Yeah. DJ Foster. Because he's going through his AC, and I've gone through many ACLs. So Knee just goes blonk because it's tired. And I go, Tim Burr. Thankfully, I'm thinking, oh, the moneymaker can't have that get damaged in this business, because I've seen that nonsense before where I've worked with people that, oh, you can't be on the air for 2 weeks because you have a zit the size of the moon on your forehead, you know, whatever. We can't have that happen. Can't have people be real. Nonsense. So I got through that. Saturday, went to my son's wrestling and rode 20 miles. So I feel good, man. I hiked yesterday too. Got my 10,500 in. I'm not doing the keto. I'm not doing that diet. It's killing people. Jared's got a, I don't know, Jared's diet's been like 3 years of stuff that I don't think I want. Is your diet working, Iron Man? Is it, yeah, you good today? You good? I mean, there's this, so it was a weekend of taking care of stuff. My point on this is I could do the combine, the whole opening segment. I like football a lot. Son is going to play it. Oldest son played it. We go out, watch games. This company likes to be out on Friday nights, Saturday nights, and some Sundays when the Cardinals are relevant. Football's cool. I think this weekend showed me that I've seen a lot of combines. Didn't miss anything at the combine this weekend. I could sit and watch. The combine has turned into a charitable cause for Rich Eisen, which is fine. It's great that he does it. But it's pretty clear that's what a big part of it is now. So I've saw it over and over and over in every single segment on the NFL Network. That's what they're doing. It's fine. The Hot Shots game last night, it wasn't good football. It just wasn't, in my view. Does it have its place? Sure it does. Sure it does. But I felt like watching that game last night was a little bit painstaking. The game Saturday night that Dennis Erickson is going against Steve Spurrier in the snow, and the sideline reporter for the NFL Network's trying to get Steve Spurrier to talk about competing against his good buddy Dennis Erickson. Steve wasn't about to have it. It's, I'm freezing my ass off with a beanie on in Salt Lake, and I'm not making a lot of money, and I could be golfing in Florida or being at the Honda Classic just enjoying myself in a private tent. That's what I came across. We're trying to force football year-round. There is a place for it within reason, even at the high school level. High school comes up with this huge ruling of what is prior contact, what is cheating, what is not, trying to close the gap. We're in this silly, ridiculous season of 7-on-7s where kids are putting up, look at how great I am. Like, dude, you're not even going against anybody really at full speed. You may say you are, but there's no rush. It's a timing thing. It's a recruiting thing. It's like club basketball, except now it's down to the high school level. I went to Arizona State scrimmage on Thursday night. It was fine. It wasn't really much of a scrimmage. Jaden Daniels by far looks like the quarterback to be. I spent some time with Kevin Sumlin on Wednesday. We got talking about the transfer portal. Guys, there's over 5,000 names right now in the transfer portal. 5,000 names. I'm going to talk about the reasons for that and why it is a bad thing a little bit later on in the show. Opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. Sagicor Now, that means life insurance for you and yours, maybe annuities too. Have you looked at your financial situation top to bottom? I bring this up. I don't hit you over the head with a shovel. It's your life. You probably know when you're going to get punched out, right? I mean, think about this. Have you put everything in order? Is everything in place for you to go retire? Or, God forbid, you're not able to come home tonight? Really simple. Just go to SagicorNow.com and get your free quote online at Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Other stuff, I watched ASU and Oregon State last night. A good win for Bobby Hurley. Bobby Hurley is just getting beat on by guys that don't have market knowledge of what this program is all about. Arizona State basketball's not been good for a long time. They play in a barn. It's a barn that should be in some spots condemned, in my humble opinion. It's a dump. Much like the stadium was a dump, and now Ray Anderson has come in and said, enough of this. And did Todd Graham help get the momentum started? Yeah, he did. Helped get it started. boosters come up with the dollars. Todd would go out and speak. ASU would tell us, you know, Todd Graham has spoken 120 events to raise funds. Yeah, and you walk in the stadium now and it's great. The arena's not good. Guys, they've won double-digit games in the Pac-12 conference, a grand total of three times in 26 years. Three times in 26 years, they've had double-digit conference victories. So for Bobby Hurley to win his 10th game last night, yeah, losing to Washington State stinks. Losing at Colorado, not good. Losing the other night to Oregon where they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, not good. But if you put everything in full perspective of where Bobby has the program, I'm not the biggest fan of some of his kids that he's brought in. I'm not. But give Bobby credit. Lay off Bobby Hurley. Let Bobby do his thing. He's trying to turn around the Titanic. When the best thing going back in the like 2013, 2014, 2015 was Curtain of Distraction, you know you have a problem. Curtain of Distraction should be retired. I put that out last year. Some people didn't like it. You don't need gimmicks anymore. It's not going to be front page stuff of the New York Times. It's what you do when your program is not good. Act like Duke. Act like North Carolina. Don't act like Utah State the other night where they did a court storming and it got really ugly. You don't need to do that. If ASU beats U of A this weekend in Tucson, there shouldn't be any fans running on the court from ASU. They should get tackled. There's no reason for that. It's not that big a deal anymore. U of A stinks. If ASU goes to Las Vegas next week and wins in the Pac-12 tournament, something they've never done, Bobby has them playing already in the quarterfinals. They're not playing these worthless 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 seed games on Wednesday. They only have to win two games now to get to the championship game. They're going to be in the tournament unless they just completely crap the bed. And they might with the way this team is, but I would say if you just look at the body of work, Bobby Hurley has done bunts. I'm going to use baseball analogy here. Bunts and sacrifices and singles to right field to move the runner along and building this program. There was nothing really in place. They were afraid to schedule anybody. They were full of excuses top to bottom in the athletic department before Ray got there. So, yeah, losing the other night at Oregon where they couldn't shoot straight was not good. That's a good win last night. If you think, well, it's just Oregon State, you haven't been watching the conference. So lay off Bobby Hurley. I would get into LeBron and how bad it looked on him the other night against the Suns. He threw a ball off the backboard, didn't hustle back on defense a few times. Still has had a great career, still is one of the best players in the history of the game, but come on, man. If you're not going to put it out there for the Lakers and the Suns just roll you. Giannis is in town tonight. Eric, did you know Giannis is in town tonight? Did you wake up today saying, oh my gosh, the team with the best record in the Eastern Conference is here?
I woke up today saying, I can't believe the Suns beat the Lakers, and wow, the Lakers are just a complete train wreck. That's pretty much what I thought about.
Are you excited Giannis is here?
The return of Eric Bledsoe? Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Eric Bledsoe play tonight.
So the Bucks started four.
He just got an extension, too.
$70 million.
No, Giannis is the real deal. He's a great player.
The Bucks started four players the other night in their game at Utah that are 6'10 or bigger, and they just signed Pau Gasol.
Yep.
So, and they have the best record in the East, which... on surface, if the Suns were relevant, and they're not, don't give me two of three that they've won and this is the turnaround, because it's not.
Who would say something like that?
There are some people on social.
They need to get off social.
No, they're paid by the Suns to say it. It's ridiculous. It's just, you guys need to disappear.
You're running way long in this segment, by the way.
I know. So I'm going to step aside here. That's cue for shut up. All right, on the other side, so we're going to talk further. I've got some thoughts. I'm going to bounce this off of Eric too. Kyler Murray, Josh Rosen, and all that. That is next after the combine is complete. I am Brad Sussmat. So I want to focus in a little bit more on the Cardinals and now what, since the combine is behind us. Cardinals have the number one overall pick. Kyler Murray measures in at 5'10 and an eighth. When he was at Oklahoma, they listed him at 5'9". How does that happen? Did his hands get bigger? Well, if you believe all the measurements before the combine and then afterwards, the answer is yes. Are there ways to make measurements bigger, longer with fingers and workouts? Pour water in you to gain weight? so that you're much bigger when it's coming up to being weighed in? Yes, the answer to all of this. I bring this up, it's not because I'm down on the Cardinals if they decide to go the direction of Kyler Murray. I think they have a lot more to work on than just the quarterback position. It's really a crossroads for Steve Keim. Steve Keim has had his hits with first-round picks. He's had his misses with first-round picks. Steve Keim has never, ever once been in this position with the number one overall pick. Michael Bidwell has never once been in this position of having the number one overall pick. Cliff Kingsbury's never once been an NFL coach. You have a lot of inexperience when it comes to having the number one overall pick. You have to trust that everyone is in place with this organization. I would hope here in the first week of March they're all not in agreement as to what they should do. Debate is healthy. Looking at your roster top to bottom is healthy. I think so far for the Cardinals to put it out there, the quote from Steve Keim last week about Josh Rosen's our quarterback for now was pretty funny. It made me chuckle. This is the season of poker playing, lying, however you want to put it. The Cardinals are in the driver's seat to stir up interest. So let's take this a step further. If in fact Kyler Murray is the guy the Cardinals decide that they want to have, off the field, it's a total home run for business. You have Cliff Kingsbury who comes in here. His resume speaks for itself in terms of putting the ball in the air up and down the field. The Cardinals will be exciting. They'll be interesting. They'll be entertaining. People in this market will eat up Cliff Kingsbury's offense. You add Kyler Murray to that. Heisman Trophy winner. He could be the next Russell Wilson. People will eat that up. Can he play? Can he stay healthy? He's one hit away. Could you have taken that number one pick and put it into a whole lot of assets? Could you have brought in Bosa on the defensive side and put him alongside of Chandler Jones and Josh Rosen would be just fine? If they screw this up, and there's a chance, okay? I get it. If they were sitting here right now, they'd say, well, everybody makes mistakes, Brad. Yeah, but I'm in Phoenix, okay? I don't care what Cleveland does. I don't. I care what happens here. And so if they screw this up and they miss, and if you trade Josh Rosen and you trade him to Washington or you trade him to New England, why would you do business with Bill Belichick? But you did it with Chandler Jones and it worked out. You just look at it and say they had a quarterback in place. They could have gone a different way. When I put this out on, are the Cardinals really bluffing? Or do you think there's sincere interest in Kyler Murray? I put it out on my social, and many, many people said they think the Cardinals are bluffing. There's going to be boos, and there's going to be cheers like none other on draft night. I can't imagine that universally people feel as though Kyler Murray is the missing piece to get the Cardinals turned around. I don't know. Josh Rosen got thrown around like a rag doll last year because they had nobody blocking in front of him. Kyler Murray, even at 5'10", if he takes shots, and he's found ways to protect himself, he's done a good job in protecting his body, not getting hit straight on. But you can't tell me that within a division that has guys like Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh bearing down on you, if your offensive line isn't right, he's going to get crushed just like Josh Rosen did. So you go through all this and the measurables and the buzz, the Cardinals accomplished getting the buzz out this past weekend in Indianapolis. They did that. Now, are they bluffing or are they serious about getting rid of Josh Rosen and making Kyler Murray the number one overall pick? What would you get back for Josh Rosen? See, that's the question I don't think people have taken the time to consider. So I'll just get Rosen out of here. Josh Rosen, from a cap standpoint, okay, the Cardinals have already paid his signing bonus. So a team takes Josh Rosen, it's a pretty good deal for that team. Cardinals have already done the work for the most part. They would have control of him 3 years plus. So there's going to be a market for Josh Rosen out there. It's not like if they decided to go that direction. I still look at it and say, is Kyler Murray better than Josh Rosen in some facets? And the answer is yes. From a scrambling standpoint, escapability, moving the pocket, it's much like Russell Wilson voids traffic, it's out of danger, and is able to make plays. Is Kyler Murray better than that than Josh Rosen? Yeah. And maybe that's what they need with an offensive line that's been a sieve. Let's not sugarcoat this. That's not me. and it shouldn't be you. So there's advantages to if they decide to trade Rosen and go get Kyler Murray. There are some advantages. From a business standpoint, for Michael, it's a win. He's going to sell gobs of jerseys. He's going to have interest in a very crowded marketplace, which right now the Coyotes are the talk of the town. And it's kind of a small talk, but the Coyotes are getting there. You got to be competitive and give people a reason to come watch. I'm more about, can you be competitive for the next 5 years, 7 years, 10 years? When this team missed on Matt Leinart, and they missed, it set them back. They got lucky Kurt Warner was out there. They got lucky when the Raiders decided to make one of the dumbest moves of all time, and all the Cardinals had to do was give up a late-round pick for Carson Palmer. You can't get lucky every time with other teams' incompetence. And so if you keep this pick and you decide Kyler Murray is your guy and Josh Rosen gets moved on, we're going to dissect this for years. I mean, we're going to dissect this for the next 6 weeks leading up to the draft because there's no easy answer here. There really isn't. Eric, where are you at on all this? Where are you seeing out of all this?
Oh, they have so many needs. The Cardinals aren't just one position away from being good again. They're several positions away. And I would just trade the pick. Just trade down. Just stockpile picks.
Do you see my point on Kyler Murray?
I do.
Do you see the business side with Michael? Do
Absolutely.
You see how Michael is with PR and media?
Josh Rosen has value. Kyler Murray has sex appeal. Do I think Kyler Murray could be the next Russell Wilson? I do. Do I think he could be the next shorter version of Vince Young? Maybe. You just don't know. No one knows.
Is he Doug Flutie? Is he better than Doug Flutie?
But the Cardinals did play the game really well last week in Indianapolis.
Yeah, they did.
And you and I had some good joking moments talking about Steve Kimes, you know, subtle comments about quarterback
I think,
of the present.
Sure. I think, look, we've seen, between the two of us, we've seen 60 years of drafts. So, and I've made a living out of doing draft stuff before I even came to Phoenix. And, you know, you just hear stuff and you know it's the lying season. You talk to agents the last couple of days and the agents know that they're just lying. Everybody's lying. I'm not calling the Cardinals liars. They're stretching the truth. They're playing poker.
I just wonder if there's a team out there, Brad, that's really craving to get Kyler Murray. Because the Giants seem like they love the Ohio State quarterback. Dwayne Haskins, who also just had a ridiculous combine. And I'm just wondering what's the real value of the number one pick?
Okay, so let's throw this into the equation. Tua is going to be there next year.
So
let's take a team like the Washington Redskins, which has been published quite a bit, or the New England Patriots that's been out there. If Bill Belichick wanted to part with a 32nd pick in the draft, bring Josh Rosen in, have him behind Tom Brady, is that enough in my mind to say, okay, we drafted Josh Rosen at 10, we turned around, we got the 32nd pick, and maybe you pick up a third pick?
The Cardinals traded up to get Josh Rosen.
No, that's true.
It's not just the 10th pick. So.
So you decide for your incompetence last year, you're going to use the number one overall pick again on a quarterback. You're going to become a little bit like the Cleveland Browns, where every year you're taking quarterbacks, or at least 2 years in a row.
It's like dumping money into a car that doesn't have a lot of value, but you just really want to see if you can get that value out of that car, but you're never going to get the value back. What happens when you start throwing away draft picks.
Yeah, you're throwing draft picks, but I think for the Cardinals, it's we think there's a better quarterback now than there was last year, and we believe on our board that the quarterback position is our biggest point of need. And I would say no, and Steve, you know, you missed on Robert Kimdichie. I'd say DJ Humphreys is a 50-50 pick at this point. Hassan Reddick started to get a little better last year.
System change, though. It's hard with some, you know, Dan Buchanan, same deal. They're all working in different defenses. So
you look at Steve, and can you say universally, I trust Steve Keim to get a first-round pick correct? And the answer to me is no. It's like when they hired Kingsbury and Michael Bidwell's opening line included, yeah, we consulted Ernie Accorsi on this, which I thought was really interesting. And I don't think many people picked up on it. Peter King. You know, when you aren't in this familiar position and you try to do it all yourselves because you think you're the smartest guys in the room, reach out a little bit. Reach out to some people that have been there and said, how did you do this? There's going to be a group of people, Eric, I guarantee you, and I don't know where you are on this, I am not going to be one that's going to rip this team if they don't take Kyler Murray and they trade down. I'm not.
I'm not either. And we don't really know how good Josh Rosen is. I mean, he was, like you mentioned, Brad, he was playing behind a beat-up offensive line. He didn't have Christian Kirk for the last part of the season. The running game was inconsistent at best. It's just, and he's a rookie quarterback. Of course he's going to hit, you know, go through those growing pains.
But this will be, this next 6 weeks will go down in Arizona sports history when the Cardinals make that announcement as one of the biggest decisions in the history of the Valley. And yeah, it's the number one overall pick. It's no different than the Suns deciding to take DeAndre Ayton and pass on a guard who's killing it with the Dallas Mavericks. It's no different than the Suns taking Dragan Bender when they could have, or Josh Jackson, I'm sorry. The Suns taking Josh Jackson when they could have traded that pick for Porzingis. And who knows where the organization would be today. The Cardinals are in a space where they've passed on players in the past. And we can all play the guessing game. When you're at the number one pick, you can't defend yourself. You can't. If you miss, you screwed up. You miss on the 10th pick, the 18th pick, the 25th pick. Yeah, there's going to be criticism. I can recite and recant lots of Cardinal players that they've blown it on, Leinart being at the top of the list. So I can't emphasize enough how, yeah, the next 6 weeks, we're going to all debate it. And maybe the Cardinals do something when the NFL calendar turns next week. Maybe they do something with Rosen. What would be the advantage? Let's just say that they decided next week when the calendar turns that they can go out and make moves. What would be the advantage of making a deal and knowing that you're going to take Kyler Murray at number one if you trade Josh Rosen away? What would the advantage be? You know, I think that's the next step in this equation. On the other side, so the Suns have a really interesting game tonight. The Coyotes continue to win. And much more of what's going on in Arizona sports. Sports360AZ.com. Our television show is on Fox Sports Arizona. We have 12 airings per week. Brad Sussmat Football AZ airs Tuesdays, Wednesdays. They had it on last night. Like, man, it's on all the time, it feels like. Back with more after this timeout. All right, so tonight the Suns play Milwaukee, and the Suns have 18 games left. The Bucks are 48-15. We talked a little bit earlier about them. The Suns had a PR disaster the other day where Josh Jackson didn't show up for an autograph signing thing at a grocery store. This is what happens when the wheels come off from top to bottom. The Suns are in the market now for a general manager. Why the name David Griffin is not out there, I don't know. Why Eddie Johnson isn't being considered? He has wanted to be a general manager. I don't know. The team has to find a way. Like, there's barrels and barrels of ink being written around what the Suns should do and who they should go get and the latest, greatest, snappiest analytics. Here's the thing. And I think there's some people within the organization that see it my way. They put Paul Westphal on the postgame show the other night. It's fine. It was good to see Paul do his thing. That resonates with people over about the age of 40, maybe 30. Eric, when you saw, did you see Westy the other night do his thing?
I did not, no.
So if I told you Paul Westphal was on, would you think that's kind of cool to see Paul Westphal drop back in? Or is it like it doesn't do anything?
We're so far removed from those days that it probably doesn't do much.
Doesn't do anything. But if Amari Stoudemire showed up in studio, you'd want to, Steve Nash showed up in studio.
Yes.
Grant can't show up. He's part of the Hawks. But if they reach back to their past to show this is what we were.
The 7 seconds or less era was such a good one for so many different reasons. And to take nothing away from the 92-93 finals team, but the 7 seconds or less is just, that they want the young. Seven seconds or less was the young. They are not. They're trying to be the young, but they're just a really bad losing basketball team.
You know my stance on it. Robert's just not good as an owner, and I don't care where his decimal point is. I don't care how much money's in somebody's bank. I don't care who has what in terms of dollars. I don't.
I guess I just wonder how bad does Robert Sarver really want to win. Because we've talked about on the show, Brad, the Suns are making buckets and buckets and buckets of money.
Yeah.
And he, what does he do? He's a banker. He's in it to make money. Like, is his drive to not just make a lot of money, but also try to bring a championship to Phoenix? Because over the last now, what, almost 9 years, they have not been in the playoffs. You would know better than anyone.
I would.
And it's just, I mean, we keep saying to ourselves, okay, I think they're onto something. Okay, they have some pieces. All right, we talk about the assets and yada, 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 all that stuff. And they've got the worst record in the NBA right now, or close to the worst record. It's just the same thing.
So
it's defeating for these longtime Suns fans like myself.
It's defeating, and to sit here and do hours and hours and reams and, you know, podcasts and all that on what's wrong. There comes a point where somebody has to look in the mirror in a point of pride and say, boy, I've really messed this up. You would think in most cases that doesn't happen here. And I don't think it's ever going to happen. I was at a wine tasting event the other night. My wife and I went to a wine tasting event, and there's some very nice people that were there. A friend of mine, Mark, invited me to go, and one of the people that was in the room pulled me aside, and they are a big sports fan. And it was one of those moments where I had to try to find a way to get away from the person because they are such a big sports fan. And I'm there to have wine and have a nice night and kind of decompress. But they wanted to know what's wrong with the Suns. My line when people say, what do you think's wrong with the Suns? It's, we don't have enough time in the day, you know, or I think I said something like, there's not enough bottles of wine here that we could sample for me to tell you what's gone on and what is wrong with the team. Tonight is another night of example of how the thing has been screwed up. Go look at the Eric Bledsoe move and how that went down, what they got back in exchange, how it played out publicly for the franchise. And you once again would say, Robert, you get a big F. You failed. Beating the Lakers the other night, like it's a big accomplishment. It's a big deal. They're acting like being court stormers here. I don't know if there'll ever be a day, like in Sacramento, I have some friends up there that say going to a Kings game is now an event. They're fun to watch. De'Aaron Fox is great. Bagley for his knee, it was fun to watch him. And that it's the place to be, and so people want to be there. Nobody wants to go watch this team play right now. They don't look like they really care much for one another, in my humble opinion. It's shoe-squeaking games. It's where you sit down on the floor and you hear the shoes squeak and you hear the players yell at each other. That's not very attractive. Milwaukee, if Milwaukee can win, if Milwaukee can have the best record in the NBA, don't buy for a minute when these people here in town that are apologists for the Suns say, well, it's a small market. Don't buy that crap. It's not true. It's just simply that you can't win in small markets. We can't attract people here. Milwaukee is like the poster child of Robert. They're going to Milwaukee rather than coming here to play for you. Come on. Paul Gasol wanted to be released from San Antonio to go to Milwaukee. When you go to the airport, how many people want to get on a plane to go to Milwaukee? You may be from Wisconsin. You may be from Milwaukee. You don't want to go to Milwaukee in the dead of winter. It's 75 out here today. So what's going on tonight at the arena, again, is an example of they hit on a pick in Giannis. Did the Suns hit on a pick in DeAndre Ayton? I don't know. Do they have a pick in Devin Booker that looks like a surefire superstar? No, I don't like some of the stuff that I see out of him in a losing situation. Look, it doesn't matter if you're in business and you're in a tough spot. If you don't have enough pride to motivate yourself, if all you're going to do is make excuses and say, boy, this really is not great. I can't believe that this is where I'm left in life. Then get out. Get out. I see players, I have so much respect for the guys that handle themselves like pros and are in the worst possible situations in sports. Worst possible situations. Larry Fitzgerald's at his locker after every loss. It wasn't that way at the beginning. Wasn't that way at the beginning with him. But he's grown up, he's matured. He hasn't sat there and said, get me out of here, the situation is awful, the situation is terrible. Yes, he's getting paid a good amount of money, but he has the pride of wanting to build something. You should have the pride to want to build something and not just sit there and say, oh gosh, this is never going to get any better. Get out. And I think that's kind of what's going on with Devin Booker to a certain extent. Jason Witten. Here's one. So Jason Witten decides to quit Monday Night Football. And who was it I was reading? And the story was the Jason Witten error of Monday Night, not era, the Jason Witten error of Monday Night Football is over. Yeah, he decided this TV thing blows. I'm out of here. I'm going to go back and I'm going to play for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm just going to go do my thing on the football field because being a broadcaster stinks. I'm not good at it. I can't believe we're in this bleep show. And I'm out of my comfort zone. So Peyton Manning, Kurt Warner, Boomer Esiason. There's this written stuff going around about Boomer Esiason to be the play-by-play guy. Just put a bunch of former players in the booth and do something different because Monday Night Football is pretty much irrelevant now. You'll say, well, it still gets millions of viewers. Yeah. Guys, by the time you get to Monday, you're saturated. You're oversaturated. You're done. You've got Thursday night. So that's going on too. All right, Coyotes are off tonight. That's why I didn't do much on them. Their win streak is 7. They're all that. It's fun to watch. I love what's going on with the hockey team. They're in play tomorrow night, and they're at home all week. So head on out there and check them out. Eric Sorensen is our Senior Executive Vice President of Nothing or Everything, depending on the day. The Iron Man is Jared Nielsen. Have yourself a great Monday.